Hi, welcome to today's worship stream from Grace Communion Richardson. I am Gabriel, and I am the lead pastor of this church congregation. And here, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagement, all out of the compelling love of God expressed abundantly in Christ Jesus our Lord, and by the power of His Spirit. You are welcome to today's worship stream. If you have any prayers, please do not hesitate to share your prayer request with us. You can see on the screen the address to send your prayer request to. And if you have any comments, we would love to hear them from you as well. On Wednesday, the country inaugurated a new president and administration. President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and their administration. Let us join together in prayer for the 46th president and his administration, that they may be about the people's work, the people's will, that they may yield themselves as instruments of peace and of unity and of doing the things that help those who are suffering, those who are marginalized, showing themselves strong on their behalf, on behalf of all of us as Americans, recognizing that they are under the sovereignty of our great loving God, from whom all authority flows from, whether in government, whether in the church, or whether in the family. Amen. Now, presidents have a purpose. So do you. And one main purpose or mission that we all share in common as humans is to worship and bring glory to God in whatever it is that we are doing or engaged in. Human beings were created for worship and to bring glory to God. We bring glory to God in the various ways that we engage life, the various ways that we have gifts and talents and skills and training, the various ways that we relate to one another. Our overriding common purpose, friend, is that it will be in worship and it will bring glory to God. And I'll be talking more about it later in this worship stream. Now, speaking primarily to our Grace Communion Richardson members and our supporters, I just want to say thank you for your generous financial contribution and donation to our gospel effort. They are very helpful and very much appreciated. If you are moved to join in contributing financially and donating financially to this gospel effort, you can see on the screen the various ways that you can do so. Your donations, your financial contributions are tax deductible, and they are very much welcome. Thank you and God bless you. Now, it is our custom each year at the beginning of the school year and then later towards the end of the year to offer blessings to our students, our teachers and mentors, to our young people as they begin a new year and a new school year. And we are going to do so through a video clip today, and that will come after a praise song from our praise team. So please stay for a praise song, and then after that there will be a video blessing of young people and mentors, and then I will come back for the message for today. Please stay with us.
All the poor and powerless. and all the hearts who are content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, will know that you are holy, and all will see. Sing out, hallelujah.
Dear Almighty God in heaven, we come before you today asking a special blessing on the children that you've entrusted in our care, for the children of Grace Communion Richardson in the community surrounding our church. I pray for the health and safety of these children and the health and safety of their families. I pray that each child is surrounded by your full armor, that they are able to avoid danger in any form. I pray that each child is able to put aside their fear and worry so that they may fully enjoy the rest of the school year. I pray for the parents who are home worrying. I pray that they put their trust in you to protect their children. Be with each and every child, not just our community, but in the nation and in the world. They're so precious. And just bless each of them in their lives and in their struggles.
And dear God, we ask a very special blessing over the teachers, the staff, and the administration, that they can cope with and handle all that they have to deal with in this new age of teaching, that they can work with the children that they have in classes, and that they can work with the children that are on Zoom and with all the technology that they have to deal with. Give them an extra portion of your love and your guidance during the rest of this school year. In Jesus' name, we pray all of this. Amen.
All right, let's begin the message with prayer, if you don't mind joining me. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you so very much for each day of life that you give to us, and it's a gift. And we have the opportunity and the privilege of rejoicing in it. So thank you for today. Thank you for the new president administration that we have in our country. I pray that you will be with them, that they will humble themselves before your mighty hand and seek your wisdom as they serve the people who have placed them in the position of responsibility and authority. And that they will seek the peace and unity of this nation, as we all desire that. I also pray, Lord, for our young people, for our teachers and mentors and administrators, as school goes back at the beginning of the new year. I join my voice to Terry's prayer and ask for your blessing on our young people and all those who are involved in their lives. That we all will be pointed to you through Christ Jesus, our Savior, and have our trust and our rest in you for a better future. And I pray this, recognizing the mission, the purpose that you've called us all to be a part of in your Son. In His name, I pray. Amen. Is there a purpose for your life? Do you have a purpose? What purpose drives you? You know, there are certain people in this world who seem to have a single-mindedness about certain things in life, you know, and you can see how that thing drives everything they do. It could be an athlete, it could be a politician. It could be, you know, a scientist or an engineer or what have you. They have a singleness of purpose. They recognize that this is my purpose, and they go all out for it. Do you have a purpose? Like Peter in the Bible and Andrew and the other disciples that we read about, Jesus is calling you to a higher purpose. He is calling you to a mission. Jesus is calling you to participate in His life and mission of love. The life and mission of bringing many people to the knowing love relationship of God and to glorify God as God's children. It is a simple yet very disruptive mission or calling or purpose. It is a human and yet a very divine endeavor. And I want us to take some time to look at this calling, this purpose, this mission, and this life in Jesus that we have been called to, that we have been invited to participate in. And we're going to do that from the Gospel according to Mark. In Mark chapter 1, we started with Mark last Sunday. We read about the baptism of the Lord and what that meant, that Jesus' baptism was a symbol, a metaphor of his immersion into our lives. The immersion of Jesus, his life and his story, into our life and stories in exchange, so that he takes upon himself ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the weird, our sins, our weaknesses, and he exchanges that for his life, his righteousness, his forgiveness, his redemption, his peace. And in the process of that, friend, we are enjoined to participate with him in his life and in his mission of love. So we saw that last time when we read Mark and we considered the baptism of Jesus Christ and what it meant. We will continue in the book of Mark as we look at your calling and my calling to a higher purpose, to a mission in Christ Jesus. In Mark chapter 1 and in verse 14, continue the story from here. We know that after Jesus was baptized and he came out of the water and the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the voice of God came out from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son," and so on. Then he went into the wilderness and for 40 days fasting, praying, and being tempted. And then he comes back, and so we pick up the narrative from verse 14. After John, in the meantime, John the Baptist, had been arrested and put in prison. And then, after that had happened, that really gave a definite closure to John the Baptizer's ministry of baptism. John's ministry came to an end with his imprisonment, and Jesus began his ministry. And this is what the apostle, Mark is sharing with us in beginning from verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying this in verse 15, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." So John has been taken off the scene, so to speak, and in prison. And then Jesus begins his ministry. And he begins by sharing what? By proclaiming the kingdom of God, described as good news, the good news of God, as we read in verse 14. And he says, the time has come. The time has come for what? The time has come for you and for me, for humanity to understand what God's intentions are for us, why we are on earth, so to speak. And this intention, this destiny, Jesus is saying here, has something to do with something called the kingdom of God. Now, throughout Christmas, we share some of that as we read Isaiah 9:6 and how the kingdom was going to be on the shoulders of the Son who was given. And Jesus comes and proclaims the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the reign of God in all the affairs of creation. And Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And so wherever Jesus is, the kingdom is there. He is the kingdom of God. He is the owner and the king of that kingdom. And he is interested in you and me being part of that kingdom, of that relationship of the reign and influence of Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of God, the God who is love, the God who is caring, the God who is a benefactor, the God who is protector and provider. And the kingdom is a kingdom of justice. It's a kingdom of unity. It's a kingdom of productivity. It's a kingdom of accountability and stewardship. And Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And he came proclaiming that kingdom. And he says, now is the time for you to begin to understand what this is all about. Now is the time for you to begin to understand that you are included. You are here for the express purpose of being part of the kingdom of God. And that is brought about by me. It is brought about by me accepting you where you are and who you are, forgiving you of your sins as you acknowledge that you need that forgiveness, and inviting you to participate in my life and mission of love. So he says, the kingdom of God has come near, in verse 15, repent and believe the good news. What does repent mean? Repentance, it's an old English word. We rarely use these words anymore. Words like repent, words like sin, they are no longer as popularly available in our everyday language. And I think that says something, that in itself. But repent simply means recognizing that you are a sinner, recognizing that you have a perspective, a mindset that is in opposition to God's mindset, that you have a projection in life, a direction in life that is not in consonance with God's direction and purpose for you, and reverting from that, changing from that. In the Greek word for repentance is really saying a turnaround or a change. And it seems to imply a change of direction. But you can only have a change of direction when you have a change in the mindset, in the heart. And then that is manifested in the actions. And so to repent is to have an about turn, is to recognize that you do not have control, that you are weak, that you are incapable on your own of achieving the best life that God intended for you, and turning to the one who is able to bring that about, and that is God through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Spirit. So Jesus' mission, as he spells out here in verses 14 and 15, is about the good news of the kingdom of God. That is the good news of God destining you and me and all of humanity to be a part of the glory and reign of Christ in love and joy as his children forever. That's the destiny of humanity, is to share in the life of love and joy of Jesus as his children forever. This is the mission he calls you to, a divine calling and purpose. The higher purpose for your life involves that destiny, friend. It has nothing to do with material things. How many houses you live in or have or do not have has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do with cars or clothing or any of those things. They are nice to have, those things, but the higher purpose and calling for your life and for my life is to share in the life of the creator of the entire universe, the life of love and joy of God as his children forever. I cannot think of any higher purpose and calling in life than that. And it starts with, Jesus says, repentance and belief. To repent is to admit your inadequacy, your sinfulness, that you have been or are apart from God in terms of the direction of your life, and to change direction from staying in the illusion of having control, of being in charge, and really giving your life to God's control and God's love in Jesus. This is what repentance is about. It is setting aside your independence in order to be dependent on God. That's repentance. It is a change in your mindset, in your mindset of independence, to a mindset of dependence on God. And then it can grow into a mindset of interdependence with others who also have changed from a mindset of independence to dependence on God. That's what repentance is about. It's a relational acknowledgement of need for God. A relational acknowledgement of need for God in relationship. And that acknowledgement extends to other human beings through God's grace. And so repentance is us letting go and letting God, as the saying goes, popular saying, let go and let God. That is an attitude of repentance. To believe is to trust in and live out the truth of who God is in Jesus and whose you are. And so Jesus comes preaching the good news that God loves you, God cares for you, God wants you and has included you in His kingdom, in His glory and reign expressed in the King of that kingdom, Jesus Christ. And that you become part of this because that's your destiny. That's what God created us for. That's our higher purpose and calling and mission in life. And it begins with us recognizing our need for it, called repentance. And it begins with us accepting and trusting God, called belief. And this repentance and belief is not only expressed in relationship towards God, but we share it together as well as fellow human beings made in the image of God with the same destiny of sharing in the kingdom of God. And in verse 16, if we continue reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 16, after Jesus has said this, that the kingdom is near because He, the King of the kingdom, was there. He tells us we need to repent as humans and we need to believe what God is doing through Him, Jesus, the King of the kingdom, who is near. And then he goes in verse 16, as he walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come, follow me, in verse 17, and I will send you out to fish for people. It's an interesting phrase. Jesus sees, just picture this in your mind, Jesus sees Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were fishing on the lake. Right? If you've seen the Sea of Galilee and the various river bodies around there, you see that usually when people are near water bodies, one of the things that they like to do is to fish. Sometimes that becomes a primary mode of living, making a living through fishing. And that was true for Peter and his family and his friends. And so picture this. You see Simon and Andrew, they were in their boat and they were, I believe, net fishing. And Jesus walks by and he calls them. Hey, Simon! Now, it's very likely that they've seen each other once or twice before, because I don't think Galilee is, you know, even at that time, that big of a town or village. But Jesus comes by and says, hey, Simon, hey, Andrew, come with me, follow me. Leave behind your fishing vocation, your fish career, and follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of people. You will not any longer be fishing fish. You'll be fishing people. What does that mean? What's Jesus saying here to Simon and Andrew? Let's continue, because he didn't stop with Simon and Andrew. He went further and called some others. Verse 18, this was the response of Simon and Andrew. At once they left their nets and followed Jesus. Verse 19, when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. They are also fisher folk, right? This is brothers, James and John, in the fishing vocation with their father, out there working on their nets. Because if you know anything about net fishing, the nets break sometimes. Sometimes fish chew on the nets and you know, make holes and gaps that they can swim and swim through and get away. And so fishermen, when they are not out there fishing, one of the things that they do is to mend their nets. So they find other necessary twine and whatnot and mend those torn places so that they are secure, so that the fish cannot escape through the bigger holes any longer. And this is what James and John were doing with their father Zebedee. And Jesus calls them, right? Verse 19, when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Verse 20, without delay, he called them. Jesus called James and John, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Similar response to Simon and Andrew. So Jesus passing by, and he calls James and John, say, hey, come, follow me. And they did so without question. Come, follow me. It's an interesting story, interesting passage, and an interesting passage describing not only Jesus' influence in being able to ask these men to leave whatever it is that they were doing to follow him, but also the attitude of the men in response to Jesus. How do you see yourself in this story? How do I see myself in this story? We see here in this story a calling, and we see a response. What's your calling? And what's your response? Now, I know that we are not all called to the same things. The principle that I am talking about here is just the general principle of calling. God calls you to mission, just as he called Simon and Andrew and James and John to mission. Jesus calls all kinds of people to his mission, including ordinary people like you and me, like Simon and Andrew, James and John. These were ordinary people. Jesus did not go out into the temple area and call the religious leaders or any of the prominent personalities of the day. Just went out by the lake and called these ordinary people. And of course, Jesus called people who do not see themselves as ordinary as well. And that's the point I'm making. Jesus calls all kinds of people, but including those of us who think we are ordinary and really do not have anything to offer. He calls us as well. In fact, he calls more of us than people who think that they have a lot to offer. You know, the Nicodemuses and the Joseph of Arimathea and so on. Jesus calls ordinary people like Simon and Andrew and James and John. He calls you and me. He calls children and young people. He calls the old and everyone in between, male and female. Jesus calls all kinds of people, no matter what your background may be. He calls you and me to what? Well, we see in this narrative, specifically with Simon and Andrew, he says, I'm going to make you to fish for people. And we'll talk about what that means in a minute. But we are all called, is the point that I'm making, by God through Jesus Christ. And as we offer blessings on our young people today at the beginning of a new year and at the beginning of a school year, which is our tradition in this church, Grace Communion Richardson, we do this formally. It's not that we do not bless our children throughout the year, we do, but we do so formally at least twice a year, at the beginning of the year and at towards the end of the year as well. We believe God calls young people as well to mission, just as he calls those of us who are older and adults. And we believe that God hears their prayers just as he hears ours. So young people are called to mission as well. And I pray they answer the call, just as I am asking, how is our attitude to the call that God gives to us? As we saw in the narrative we read in Mark, the attitude of Simon and of Andrew, of James and of John, in response to the call of Jesus. Are you as ready to say yes, Lord, as they were? Am I as ready to say yes, Lord, as they were? Now, we know that God does not call us because we are the greatest, the creme de la creme. No. We know, at least I know that for myself, I have not been called because I am the greatest in any way, matter, shape, or form. And I suspect that is true for you as well. God does not call the equipped, as the saying goes. He equips the called. So if you do not feel equipped, don't worry. God is the one who equips us for the calling that he has called us to. He does not call us to easy, that's also important for us to understand, but he has called us to with you. God's calling on our lives, more often than not, friend, to be perfectly honest, is very disruptive. It is uncomfortable a lot of times when we come face to face with our understanding of what God is calling us to do and to be a part of, to be. It's not comfortable. It is disruptive. Just look at the story we just read. It was disruptive for Simon and Andrew to leave their fishing profession and follow Jesus. It was disruptive for James and John to leave their profession and their dad and their hired hands with the fishing equipment and boats and follow Jesus. They had to leave some things behind that maybe they were good at, that they were used to, that maybe even they loved doing, and be involved in something else as a result of the call of Jesus on their lives. And so, I am not here saying this higher purpose and mission that God has called us to is peachy every day. No. I'm not saying it is comfortable every day. No. But I am saying that even though it is disruptive a lot of times, and it is not easy a lot of times, and that we do not feel equipped for it a lot of times, it is a higher calling, a higher purpose, and it is fulfilling. It is satisfying. It is joyful if we really understand what it is that we are called to participate in and who it is that we are called to participate in. So God's calling on our lives is disruptive of our comfortable routine lives. He calls us to sacrifice. And so in the Christian understanding, we know that we are called to carry a cross. You know, Jesus says so himself. Now, pick up your cross daily, he says, and follow me. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. So when you and I participate in the higher purpose and calling and mission of Jesus Christ, there are sacrifices involved. And yet, a fulfilling and joyful life as well, even with the sacrifices. That's the amazing thing that God accomplishes in our lives. That even though it is not peaches and cream, as the saying will go, it is fulfilling and satisfying to be aligned with the purpose and the mission that God has for your life. So Jesus calls you to participate in sharing his life with people, making him known to others. His love, his comfort, his support, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his presence, and present aid for and with them. And of course, the logical question is, how can you do that if you have not experienced that yourself? So Jesus calls us to know him. Jesus calls us to a relationship with him. And through that, he sends us out to share that relationship that we have with him with others. That's what fishing for people is about. Sharing the relationship of love that we have with Jesus with others. To fish is to be relational, and to be relational in the love of Christ. That's what Jesus was inviting Simon and Andrew to. That's what Jesus was inviting James and John to. That's what Jesus invited his apostles and disciples to. And that's what Jesus is inviting you and me to. To be involved in the relationship of life. In the relationship of life with him, and as a result of that, with others. And as we get to know who Jesus is, his love, his comfort, his support, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his presence, and his present aid for us, then we are able to be his witnesses to others of these things. We are able to share this with others, share it with each other as we go through life. That is what being sent out to fish people is about. It is to participate in this, the mission and life of Jesus, to be engaged in this divine purpose. Now, I had said earlier that this calling to a higher purpose is not easy. Jesus just don't call those who are equipped. He called those to be equipped, to be involved in this. Because it's not something that we do on our own. We are incapable of that, friend. We're able to do so participating in what Jesus is doing through the power of His Spirit, and that is divine. It's not human. It's a divine purpose that we are involved in, and it's a divine power that enables us to be involved in. We'll do this with all the limitations of being human. And that's the paradox of it. And that is part of the mystery of it. That we have been called to be a part of a divine purpose while we are very human. So we make mistakes. God knows that. God knows your strength and your limits. That's why we participate in Him through the power of His Spirit, not our own will or willpower or effort. Our participation is made complete. It is made whole. It is made substantive. It's made powerful. And it is made enduring by the Spirit. Our participation, let me say that again, as weak and ineffectual as they may be, are made strong, whole, powerful, substantive, and enduring by the Spirit. It is similar to the story of the five loaves and two fish that Jesus showed His disciples. You know, you remember the story. Thousands of people were with Jesus as He healed them and taught them. And they've been with Him all day, and it was evening, and they are not eating. And Jesus told His disciples, feed them. And they're like, what? Are you serious? We can't feed this many people. We don't have the means. This is, what do you have? This is, well, there's a young boy here who has five loaves and two fish. Jesus says, bring it. That's enough. And that five loaves and two fish is used in feeding 3,000 people. It's a miracle. That's how Jesus deals with us. We bring our limited, weak, and ineffectual, and He extends through the Spirit. It is like Jesus providing wine from water at the wedding of Cana. You may know the story, or you may not know it. Jesus went to a wedding along with His mother, and they ran out of wine. And the mother came to Jesus and said, look, they've run out of wine. There's need for wine. What are you going to do, son? Do something, son. And Jesus told those who were serving the wine, you know, put water in the containers that are used for ceremonial washing. Fill them all up with water. And the water became wine as it was served. Again, it's a metaphor. Jesus is telling us that He is able to use that which we provide, as limited as they may be, as weak as we may be, as ineffectual as we may be. He is able to use our willingness, our submission, our surrender in powerful, miraculous ways through His Spirit. And so the saying is true. The will of God does not send us where the grace of God does not provide. And that's the higher purpose we've been called to be part of, friend. Do you know what your purpose or mission in life is? It may not be to be, you know, a celebrity or any of the things that sometimes when we are growing up as kids we want to be. It may not be that. But one purpose and mission that we all share, which is what I am sharing here with you today, is to worship and bring glory to God in whatever arena of life that we are in. And part of doing so, friend, is to be in a relationship of love with people. A relationship of love flowing out of your relationship of love with Jesus Christ. That's the higher purpose, is to be fishing for people, which is to relate, to have a relationship with people on the basis of the love of Jesus Christ. It's to have that as the overriding thread in your life, no matter what it is that you are doing, no matter where you are in life. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might to the honor and glory of God. And the basic one of all is now relationships with each other, born out of knowing Jesus and making him known. Now, you may think that you have a specific calling. Some people, many times people come to me and they say, oh, I feel called to be a missionary or something like that. Well, those kinds of specific callings are confirmed in community and through wise counsel. The point that I'm making, friend, is no matter what it is that you are doing, there is a higher purpose and calling for your life. And that higher purpose and calling is relational, is your relationship with others. If you are married, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your employer, your colleagues, relational living out of the knowledge of Jesus and the love of Jesus is your primary higher calling and mine. And we do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. So one purpose or mission we all share in common is to worship and bring glory to God. And that is in relationship. We bring glory to God in our various ways of living, of gifting, of talents, of skills. But no matter where it is that you are or what it is that you are doing, relationship is the number one thing. Whether it's at work, at home, in school, on the road, in the neighborhood, relationships of love born out of your relationship with Jesus is the higher divine calling, the love for one another. So no matter where you are, what you are doing, legitimately joining Jesus to share his love, his peace, his integrity with others, being the best that you can be in your relationships with others is to honor and to glorify God. What about you? What is your purpose or mission in life that's bigger than yourself? Have you accepted Jesus' call on your life? Do you want to? I pray you have or want to do life and mission with Jesus. Because Jesus' life and mission is relational. It's to share love and joy and productivity and peace with you and with others. And for you to join him in doing the same with others around you. Sharing his love, his joy, his peace, his productivity with others. Don't hesitate to reach out if you want to. We are better together in Jesus as we participate in him. He is the shepherd. He is the bishop. He is the captain and the king of the kingdom that he proclaimed in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And he is the captain of our souls. And his mission, and he never will abandon us or forsake us. So I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we continue in learning more about who Jesus is and the calling to mission that he has given to all of us as humans. I look forward to continuing on this journey of knowing Jesus and making him known through the ministry avenues of hope, faith, and love, and through the arenas of worship, of family fellowship, and neighborhood engagements through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if you don't mind, please join our worship team for a praise song. And hopefully, I will see you next Sunday. God bless. Stepped down into time and wrote the story. I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.